All right, here we go. We're beginning with the Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Ted Amud Bet. The Mishnah says, "Dam tmimim b'dam bali mumin." If there happened to be that the dam of animals that were tmimim, that are kosher to be put on the mizbeach, got mixed up with dam of bali mumim that are disqualified from being put on the mizbeach, yishafech ne'ama. Then you spill it out into the sewer line in the mikdash. Kos bikosot. If it happens to be not that the dam itself is mixed together, but rather a cup you have of one of them and then a cup of the other. Really here it's kos, big kosot. It's one kos amongst many kosot. So you have multiple kosot of damim from the tmimim. And then you have a single kos of a baumum that got mixed up amongst them. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, im karav kos echad. If one kos already went on the mizbeach, yikrivu kol kosot. Then the remainder of the kosot can be brought on the mizbeach. Even if all of them were already brought, with the exception of one of them, then it should be poured out into the sewer line. This is parallel to what we saw in the machloket between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer in the previous Mishnayot. The Rabbi Eliezer says that once one of them has gone on the Mizbeach, we assume that's the psul that went out to the Mizbeach. That's what permits you to put the remainder on the Mizbeach. The Chachamim believe that as long as there's still something that's not on the Mizbeach, it's possible that that is the psul, and therefore we won't allow it on the Mizbeach. So then, hanitanim lamata, shinitarvu minitanim lamalo. If those damim that go on the lower half of the mizbeach, below the chutis sikra, got mixed up with damim that go above the chutis sikra, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, itain lamalo. First you put the dam above the chutis sikra. V'ru'e ani et atachtunim milamalon kilu hei mayim. Then I view the extra dam that is supposed to go below the chutis sikra as if it's water, as if it doesn't really exist. And then v'yachzor itain lamato. And then after that, you put it below the chutas sikra to discharge the obligation with regards to those items that are placed below the chutas sikra. So what Rabbi Eliezer is suggesting is that we, in the end, accomplish both of what we need here, which is both putting damim above the chutas sikra and damim below the chutas sikra. And we do it in this sequence. We put it above first, which is based on the Gemara later on in Perek Kola Tadir, which is that when you have a choice between the damim l'malo or damim l'mato, damim milamala takes precedence. So that's the reason that Rabbi Eliezer recommends doing it up top first and then down below afterwards. So first of all, you put up top and you're discharging the obligation regarding the damim that belongs up top. What about the fact that you have damim that belong to mato and they're also affecting the malo? That we view as if it's mayim. We see it, look at it as if it's water, as if there's nothing going on there from the damim milamato. After you've already discharged the obligation with the milamalo, then you come and place the damim atachtonim, the lower blood. And that has two effects. One effect is the fact that there are korbanot that go below the chutas sikra in this mixture. And number two is the damim elyonim. The damim that are going above the chutas sikra require that the sheirei adam be placed ayesod mizbeach, on the lower half of the mizbeach. So therefore, when you place the damim below, you're accomplishing both of those. You're both accomplishing the fact that the shirayim are now going to mizbeach, as well as the fact that those that are the tachtonim also get on the mizbeach. The Chachamim omrim mishafech lama. The Chachamim disagree and say that it goes into the sewer line. Vim lo nimlach. But if he asked no question, if the Kohen did this without asking a question, vinatan, and he did it this way, kasher, then it works. The Chachamim agree, b'diavad, if it's already done, then it works. But the chatchilo, we're not going to allow you to do this because we're not going to engage this principle of ruim. Blazer has this principle of ruim that we look at the blood as if it's not there, if it's mayim. Chamim don't subscribe to that principle. Since they don't subscribe to that principle, they're not going to allow you to do it, the chatchilo. But vidyavad, once you've done it, already we're going to assume that the blood of the damim that needed to go to malo got on the mizbeach. Therefore, you discharge your obligation with regards to that. And it might be true also with regards to the milamato. That which goes down below would also then get on the mizbeach and be sheirim. Hanitanim b'matana achat, something that is placed on the mizbeach b'matana achat, that's the pesach, the bechor, and the maser, that are sufficient with the single matan dam on the mizbeach. Shinitarvu minitanim b'matana achat, that got mixed up with other korbanot, the same requirement of a matana achat. Then yitnatnu b'matana achat. Then you take the blood and you put it on the mizbeach matana achat. You have nothing to lose. If you put on a matana achat, you're going to get exactly what you were supposed to do, which is a matana achat. Matana arba be matana arba. You get mixed up blood that had required four matanot with blood that requires four matanot. Over here it's not clear, but in the next statement of the Mishnah, it's going to be clear that this does not mean matana arba of the chataot, but rather matana arba of shtaim shehin arba. You could at this point in the Mishnah say that it's referencing to chataot, but based on the next line in the Mishnah, it makes sense to say that it's speaking about shtaim shein arba. So if you got korbanot like shlamim, and an asham and an ola, all which require shtaim shein arba in the lower half of the mizbeach, they got mixed up together, then you do exactly that. You put on the mizbeach shtaim shein arba, because there's nothing to lose. Everything here requires shtaim shein arba. Now, matan arba b'matana achat. The problem arises when you have something that requires shtaim shein arba that got mixed up with something that requires a matana achat. This is why it has to be shtaim shein arba, because if it's matanan arba refers to the chataot, then it would have to be on the upper half of the mizbeach. So you actually introduce another variable over here, which is half of it goes above the chodesh sikra, half of it below the chodesh sikra, which the Mishnah already addressed. Over here we're speaking about both matnot dam that are below the chodesh sikra, just one of them is shtaim shein arba, and one of them is a matana achat. Rebbelezer omer, idnatnu b'matan arba. Rebbelezer, the same way he says before in the Mishnah, that we view the dam that doesn't belong there as if it's mayim, you do the same thing over here as well. You do shtaim shein arba, even though for the matana achat, that's excess, you don't need to do it. Doesn't matter, we'll look or view the thing that requires matana achat as if it's mayim, and therefore you accomplish the shtaim shein arba. Rebbelezer omer, idnatnu b'matana achat. Just put it on, matana achat, and that's enough. Now, Rabbi Yeshua obviously subscribes to what we said earlier in the Masechta. Mishnayot told us, at least according to Beit Hillel, that a single matanat dam is sufficient in order to discharge obligations with regards to all korbanot. So Rabbi Yeshua says, b'diavad, at least you're going to be motzi everything here without doing anything in excess. If you put a matanah achat on the mizbeach, you accomplish that which is needed for those korbanot that only require matanah achat. And for those that require more, shtayin shenabah, b'diavad, if you put on a matanah achat, you've accomplished that as well. So for Rabbi Yeshua, that's the best way to go over here. Rabbi Lezer, on the other hand, says, I want you to put on shtaim shein arba. I want you to accomplish l'chatchila, placing the damim on the mizbeach, because that's what is required for the korbanot, and I'm not going to forego putting that on just because of the matanah achat that is mixed in over here, because I have this principle of ro'im. I have this principle that I look at the excess dam as if it is mayim. Amar lo Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Lezer responds to Rabbi Yeshua and says, Hari over al baltigra. If you only put one matana on the mizbeach, then you're in violation of the isur of diminishing a mitzvah. You have a requirement here, for instance, if it's an olah, ashlamim, or nasham, to put shtaim shein arba, and instead you're only putting a matana achat over here. So it's baltigra to put a matana achat. Amar lo, Rabbi Yeshua, Hari over al baltusif. You're in violation of Paltosif when you do it the other way around. As the Bali Tosafot point out on the previous Amud, of course, Rabbi Eliezer could have anticipated this answer of Rabbi Yeshua. If Rabbi Eliezer is invoking Baltigra, then of course Rabbi Yeshua is going to invoke Paltosif. But as the Bali Tosafot point over here, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Lo Salka Datcha, Rabbi Eliezer Shikshalo Rabbi Yeshua by Baltosif. Rabbi Eliezer doesn't think that Rabbi Yeshua is going to ask him about Baltosif because of his principle of Ro'eh Ani, that I view the excess dam as being as if it is mine. So for him, there is no issue of Baal Tosif here at all. There's only an issue of Baal Tigra. But Rabbi Eliezer, then, who responds over here, is responding in the Shita of Rabbi Yeshua, saying, in your Shita, I still think that this is the problem or this is the issue. But for Rabbi Eliezer, there's really no problem of Baal Tosif here at all. And therefore, he doesn't think that when he says Baal Tigra to Rabbi Yeshua, that Yeshua is going to respond to him with Baal Tosif. There's a fundamental difference between Rabbi Lezer's view and Rabbi Yeshua's view. One of the issues, which is the difference as to whether we say Ro'im, which we mentioned before, do you say that I look at it as if it's water? Rabbi Lezer says yes. Rabbi Yeshua says no. And that will differentiate their opinions with regards to whether there's a problem with Baal Tosif over here. In addition, we'll see in a second, there might be other fundamentals that are driving their perspectives over here. Amar le Rabbi Lezer, lo nemar Baal Tosif. So Rabbi Lezer, according to Bali Tosfot, is answering the sheet that Rabbi Yeshua, that there is a problem with Baal Tosif, despite that fact, lo nemar Baal Tosif, el kashubu bat smo. Baal Tosif is only invoked when it's by itself, meaning that Baal Tosif, and you can formulate this in a number of ways, Baal Tosif is either only a problem when you're dealing with a single mitzvah, and in that single mitzvah, you're trying to do more with that mitzvah. That's the problem of Baal Tosif. On the other hand, if you have a case where there's something else mixed in with it, there's no din of Baal Tosif anymore, either because that other item that's there, or because you're doing a different mitzvah, that doesn't make it into Baal Tosif for the other mitzvah, meaning that we allow you to violate, in a sense, Baal Tosif, because it's not really Baal Tosif. You're really doing it for another mitzvah. Since you're doing it for a different mitzvah, it's not really a violation of Baal Tosif. Or you could even say that this is not really fundamentally the problem of Baal Tosif because of the fact that there's a safek here. Anytime there's a safek, you're trying to discharge your obligation. We're not going to call it Baal Tosif if you're doing mitocha safek and not in the intention in order to be mosif on the Dvar Hashem. So there he says that here it should not be a violation of Baal Tosif, and according to Baal Tosif, it means in your Shita, Rabbi Yeshua, even for you it should not be Baal Tosif. Amalo Rabbi Yeshua, lo nemar Baal Tigra, el kishu batzmo. So Yeshua responds to Rabbi Eliezer, you think there's a problem Baal Tigra. Baal Tigra and Baal Tosif are really two sides of the same coin. One is just excess within a mitzvah, and one is deficiency within a mitzvah. You're telling me that excess within a mitzvah doesn't apply when it's not by itself, meaning that it's not just this mitzvah, so too by Baal Tigra won't apply, so there should be no violation. Ve'od amar Rabbi Yeshua. Now Rabbi Yeshua adds in the additional aspect, which is really his trump card over here, kishenatata, if you do the shtayim shen arba avarta al Baal Tosif, you are in violation of Baal Tosif, vasita maseh biyadecha, and you do that in an active violation of Baal Tosif. Ukshelonatata, if you just withhold, restrain yourself from putting on the additional damim, avauta Baal Tigra, eno chanami, you're in violation of Baal Tigra, vasita maseh biyadecha. That abstention is done in a passive manner, and therefore you're only in violation in a passive way. So he says, better to be in violation of Baal Tigra and to be in a passive manner than to be in violation in an active manner of Baal Tosif. So that's really his trump card when it comes to this question of Rabbi Eliezer. If I have a choice to be in violation of Baal Tosif or Baal Tigra, I'd rather opt for Baal Tigra because that is a sheiv v'altaseh versus the case of Baal Tosif where it's going to be a kum v'aseh. And for that reason, I favor being deficient and only putting one matan dam on over here versus the case where you'd put on shtei matanot, where you'd be accomplishing all the mitzvah, but then you'd be in active violation of Baal Tosif. Now you could add an additional dimension to Rabbi Yeshua over here, which is the fact that you're also Yotze B'diavad. Everybody agrees that if you put on a matana achat on the Mizbeach, that itself already is enough to be motzi you B'diavad. So that's an additional dimension in favor of Rabbi Yeshua, which is, I can accomplish b'diavad, doing this by putting a single matan dam on it, that would not allow me then to actively violate Baal Tosif. Even if I fundamentally agree with you that Baal Tosif is not really a violation over here, that might be true when there's a necessity, when there's an assay, when there's a real reason to do it. But over here, b'diavad, since you begin Yotze by doing a matan achat, there's no reason to invoke the principles that allow us to override Baal Tosif. But I can be Yotze b'diavad by putting on a single matan dam. Now there is a cross-reference Gemara over here in Rosh Hashanah. Over there, the Ramban, the Milchamot, adds an additional dimension to the Machloket, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer. And he says that it has to do with mitzvot tzrichot kavanah. And he says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, mitzvot tzrichot kavanah, the mitzvah requires kavanah. And therefore, if you do not intend to put on the dam for a mitzvah, then there's no problem of Baal Tosif. And so for Rabbi Eliezer, there's no issue of Baal Tosif over here because mitzvot tzrichot kavanah. So if I go and put on the damim in order to accomplish the olah, there's no Baal Tosif with regards to the Bechor, the Maser, or the Pesach, which is a Matana Achat, because I'm not intending to put that on more. I'm not trying to do that. That's not the Kavanah of my Matan Dam. And therefore, if mitzvot Tzrichot Kavanah, in order to be in violation of Baal Tosif, I'd have to have intent to add on over here, which I'm not doing. My intent is simply to accomplish the Matana Dam of the Shtayim Shein Arba. Now, when it comes to Baal Tigra, that you will be in violation with, because it's not mitzvot tzrichot kavanah over there. There you have a kavanah to do it, and you are doing it intentionally with one, in order to avoid the problem. But if you do that, then you're deficient with regards to the olah, and there you would be in violation. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua believes, at least with regards to kodoshim, that mitzvot einon tzrichot kavanah, that you don't need intent here when it comes to the matnot dam, and therefore it's enough once you put the dam on, as if you've accomplished the mitzvah. And in that case, if you put the matan dam on, the extra matan dam, then you're clearly in violation of Baal Tosif because you added on dam. Even if that wasn't your intent, that's still what happened. You put on to shtei matanot she'en arba. And therefore, he'd much rather that you abstain, that you do not put it on, and then be in violation of Baal Tigra, because then you're at least in a passive form rather than an active form. So he adds on that additional fundamental difference between them, which we already noted, there's one fundamental difference between them, which is whether we say the, or invoke the principle of Ro'im. According to the Ramban, there's also another fundamental difference between them as to whether mitzvot tzrichot kavanah, or at least with regards to kodoshim, the matnot dam, do they require kavanah? That additional fundamental difference between them, and also explain the difference in their opinion here as well. Aside from the fact that Rabbi Yeshua himself says, I'd rather be. Shevaltaaseh rather than kum vaaseh. Right now we have in the Gemara a qualification. This is the third time we're seeing this qualification. And it's Rabbi Elazar the Amora qualifying that statement of Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah. And he's done it on previous two occasions as well. Amar Rabbi Elazar lo ikshir Rabbi Elazar elishnaim shnaim. After the first one already went on the Mizbeach, Rabbi Eliezer still only permits you to put the remaining items on the Mizbeach when you do two at once. If you do it one at a time, lo, he does not allow it. As we noted in Rashi on Friday's daf on Ayin Zayin, that Rashi says that it's really Shnei Snifim the Heter. There's really no reason that you should have to do this, because if you really believe that the first one that went on the Mizbeach was the Pasul, there's not much else that you have to do right now, except assume that that's the case and put the others on. But if you put two on, Rashi said over there in the Ketav Yad, it meant that there's a Migo. A Migo, since one of them is Heter, we assume the other one is Heter. It's an interesting type of Migo. But nevertheless, we know for sure that if you put two on, at least one of them is of Heter, because there's only one Isur, or one problematic Balmum that's mixed in over here. And so the Sniff the Heter is if I do two at a time, plus I already had one that went on the Mizbeach. Between those two things, those Shnei Sifnim the Heter are Mitzdareif to allow me to continue. But Rabbi Eliezer, without either one of those, would not allow it. If you didn't have the first one that went on the Mizbeach already, he would not permit you, even if you did it two at a time, to do this. And also the other way around. If you had the one that went on the Mizbeach, he still would not permit you to put one on at a time. You need both of these Sifnim the Heter in order for Rabbi Eliezer to allow you to do this. And this is the same qualification we saw from Rabbi Lazar before, both with regards to the Mishnah previously, as well as by Avodah Zarah with Rab's statement that's in the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, that when you have the Taba'at that fell into the Yama Melech or Yama Gadol, then the remaining items are Mutarim. We assume that the Isser fell into Yama Melech, and the remaining items are Mutarim, and over there again we said only Shtaim Shtaim. It has to be done two at a time. Okay, Meitiv Rav Dimi. V'chachamim Ormim Afilu Karvu Kulan Chutz me'achad mehen, ishafech le'ama. Chachamim say that even if one of them is still remaining, then you throw them into the sewer line, and you can't put it on the Mizbeach. So the problem, and this is the same problem that the Gemara raised in the previous Mishnah, is that Chachamim say, echad, there's one left over. And even if there's one left over, we don't allow you to put on the Mizbeach. And we know that Rabbi Eliezer argues on the Chachamim. So it seems like Rabbi Eliezer is arguing, even when there's only one left over, Rabbi Eliezer allows you to put it on the Mizbeach. You just told me you have to put two at a time. How could it be that he's putting one on? So Rabbi Yaakov, the Rabbi Yirmiya, Bar Tachlifa, Savr Lecha, I'll explain it to you. My Echad, what does it mean, one? Zug Echad, it means one pair. Doesn't mean a single item, it means a pair that remains, the two that remain. Betzricha, and now the Gemara says we have a Tzrichuta. Just told me the same din of Rabbi Eliezer, as well as Rabbi Elazar's qualification of that, by two Mishnayot. One, a Mishnah over here by the Kosot of the Dam, as well as the previous Mishnah that dealt with the Evarim of the Pasul, and the Evarim that are Ksherim. Diit mar Baha, had you only written it by the din of the Balei Mumim, Baha kama Rabbi Eliezer, over there Rabbi Eliezer allows you to continue and put on two at a time. Because the major part of the Korban was already done correctly, which is the Matnot Dam. This only happened, the mix-up only happened after the Matnot Dam were done correctly. Since the Matnot Dam were done correctly, there's no more reason to really worry about the Korban. And maybe that's where Rabbi Eliezer says that once one went on the Mizbeach, we assume that the remainder are okay and we let you put on the Mizbeach. Since the Ikar Kapara was done correctly, then we don't worry about it. Aval, Baha, if it was just about the Matnot Dam, like over here by the Kosot Dam, maybe he agrees with the Rabbanan, and we wouldn't allow you to put it on. If you only had the Mishnah over here about the Matnot Dam, here maybe the Rabbanan say it's a sore because this is the Ikar Kapara, and we're not going to allow you in the Ikar Kapara to go ahead and put it on the Mizbeach if they got mixed up, because then you don't accomplish the Kapara necessarily. Aval Baha, by the Evarim that are going to Mizbeach, and Evarim of a Balmum versus the Evarim of a Tamim, maybe over there, they would agree with Rabbi Eliezer, it's okay, because the Kapara was done correctly. Therefore, we need both Mishnayot to tell you that the machlok between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim persists. It's both by the Ikar Kapara, by the Matnot Dam, as well as by the Evarim, even post the Kaparat Adam. Both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim maintain their positions in both of these areas. Okay, Tanan Otam, we have a Mishnah in Para, dealing with the Mei Chatat. Tzluchit shenaflu l'tocha mayim kolshu, or kol dehu, or kol shehen. You have a tzluchit, which is a flask of sorts, that has the Mei Chatat. the mayim of the paraduma mixed with the ashes that are used to sprinkle on individuals to make them tahor. So then some regular water fell in there. The smallest amount, the smallest drop fell in there. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, the solution to the problem, how to deal with this is, gezeh shtei hazol. You do two sprinklings every time. Chamim poslim. Chamim say already it's problematic because you have this mayim psulim that went in there, and that mayim psulim ruins the mechatat, and you can no longer use it to sprinkle on individuals. So now the Gemara is trying to understand the positions over here between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. And they say, Bishlama Rabbanan. The Rabbanan Shita is very clear. Savre Yesh Bila. They clearly hold that there is Bila, which means that the mixture now is completely mixed. This is Lach Bilach. This is a liquid with a liquid, and we assume two liquids that get together get fully mixed together. That means that anything you take out of here is going to have, on a relative basis, percentage of whatever water fill in and mechatat that's mixed in there. So if it's 99% mechatat, 1% mayim, then that's exactly what you're going to get. Anything you take out of there, you're going to get the representative sample. It'll be 99% mechatat, 1% mayim. So that's what they believe, yesh bila. Rashi says that that's a derivative of the Chachamim's position in the Mishnah. That is that in the Mishnah you can tell that the Chachamim believe that yesh bila, that they clearly believe that there is mixture, and that's based on the last line on the previous Amud, which is im lo nimlach. If the Kohen doesn't ask us, vinatan, and he places it on the Mizbeach, that kasher, that it is kasher, and the reason it is kasher is because bila, the blood of the above and below got mixed together. Since they're fully mixed, then you end up with some of the blood that needed to get up on top, definitely on top, and that which needs to get on the bottom, definitely got on the bottom. That's what Rashi says. The Bali Tosafot don't agree with that. They say that you can't prove it from the Mishnah, especially the fact that Rabbi Eliezer on the other side, you could have proved the same thing. In Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, the Gemara does not say that. So he says that the Gemara is introducing this as, even if, which is, if you look at the top, Tosafot, he says, perish, afilu svirlu, even if the Chachamim hold, yesh bila, mikom makom psulim, that's still pasul over here, hazot, because hazah requires a shiur, and that's exactly what the Gemara says over here. So Rashi says this is a definitive statement. This is the position of the Chachamim. Whereas Tosafot says it's not a definitive position. It's just if you want to say in the Chachamim this is their position, then we can make this understandable, or we understand what the Chachamim's position would be over here. Although he does say on the Amud Bet there is a Braita, or there are Tanaic works that clearly indicate that the Chachamim's position is Yesh Bila. But we don't have that information yet. From the Mishnah, you can't necessarily prove that. And that's why the Bali Tosafot use this as Im Tim Salomar, if you want to say. So if you say, according to Tosafot, according to Rashi, the Chachamim's position is Yesh Bila, Vazat Tzricha Shiur. Since Hazat Tzricha Shiur, V'ein Mitztarfim Lazaot. And you can't take two Hazaot and mix them together to get to the Shiur. And that's why it's Psulim over here. There's no way you're going to get a Kasher Hazaah on any individual anymore. There's a minimum Shiur of Hazaah. And anytime you sprinkle, there's going to be part of the pasul that is in there, the mayim, that is not mechatat, it's going to be mixed in there. So your haza'ah fails. Now, you say, I'll do a second haza'ah. Haza'ot and mitztarfot. Two different haza'ot are not mitztarif to get you the haza'ah to be tahor. And so you need to get it in one haza'ah. And in one haza'ah, you're always going to have a percentage of pasul in there. And that's going to ruin the haza'ah. So based on that, the Chachamim's position here is understandable, why they think the mechatat are psulim. On the other hand, for Rabbi Eliezer, it's much harder to understand what his position is. Ella the Rabbi Eliezer, my kasavar. What does he hold? I kasavar ain't bila. If he holds that when you have lach b'lach, it's not really mixed together, ki mazesh de hazot, my havi. Then why does it help you when you do two sprinklings over here? Who says that in the two sprinklings that you put on, you ever got the mechatat there? If he believes there's no real mixture, that means that the mayim remains independent of the mechatat. They're not completely mixed. That means anything you're taking out of there could possibly be the mei psulim and not the mechatat. So even if you do two sprinklings, it's not going to do anything for you. Dilma tarvayu maya kamazi. Maybe both of those sprinklings are coming out of the water that is pasul. Ella, so what are you going to say? Kasavra yesh bila. He holds, like the Chachamim, that Bila, this Lach Balach, gets mixed together totally. Ika Saver, then, if he holds, Ein Hazah Tzricha Shi'ur, if he thinks that Hazah has no minimum Shi'ur associated with it, Lama Lishte Hazot, then what do I need two Hazot for? You get it in the first Hazah. If there's no Shi'ur, you don't need to bring a second Hazah in order to be Yotze. Whatever you got in the first Shi'ur has representative proportions of Mechatat and regular Mayim. Because there is Bila, they get representative proportions. And if you get anything on, you're yotzei. So what's the difference? Or, ela kasavar hazat tzricha shiur, if he believes that hazat does require a shiur, I kasavar ein mitzterfim lazot, if he believes that two different hazot can't be mitzteref, ki mazeh shtei hazot, my hobby. If you sprinkle two times, what's the benefit of doing that? They can't be mitzteref. Veinami mitzterfim, if you believe there are mitzteref lazot, miyemar, the malilei shiura. Who says that he got to the shiur? Who says that you have sufficient shiur between the two different hazot to get to a minimum shiur of hazaah? Because maybe in both of those hazot was mixed in the problematic waters that entered into the mechatat. Now, as you're asking over here, it's clear that in this situation, when you look at this, there's not going to be a rove in both hazot if it was a kolshein that was put in there. So either you have to say that the Gemara's Havamina is this way, and that's exactly what the answer of the Gemara is going to be in the Shita of Reish Lakish upcoming, or there is a suggestion here that Kolshein is not literally Kolshein. Kolshein is just to tell you the power of the Chachamim. The Chachamim say that even though it's a Kolshein, it's Pasol the Gamre, but for Rabbi Eliezer, Kolshein is just a minimum. Even if it's more than a Kolshein, all of this would be true, even if you believe Yesh Bila, nevertheless, the mixture could end up in a situation where you have more than a Kolshein in it, and that could be Pusel, both Hazaot over here. How do you know you got even one Kasher Hazaah in this instance? So we have a question as to what is the Shita, what is driving Rabbi Eliezer's position over here. Now we're going to have three answers from the Amoraim as to what is the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Amar Eish Lakish, Lolam Yesh Bila. It makes sense to say Yesh Bila. Rashi says this is not absolutely necessary for the Shita of Eish Lakish, but it makes a lot more sense to say this because it avoids all the problems we're going to run into on the Amud Bet for some of the other shitot who say ain bila. So he says that just for ease of explanation, it makes sense for Reish Lakish to say yesh bila. That there is balach balach. When you have liquids, we assume that the mixture got completely mixed up. Vaza'ah tzricha shiur. And a hazah has a minimum shiur. V'hocha b'yaskina. And what's the case here? G'gon shenit arvu achat b'achat. Case here where it was a ratio of 1 to 1. As Rashi points out over here, it does not have to be 1 to 1. It could even be 1 to the many, which is that the overwhelming majority over here is the mechatat, and the koshu isn't sufficient. And so because of that, you get what you asked Josh before, which is you get a situation in which if you already do 2 hazaot, then you're going to hit the shiur of hazaah at that point in time. And you can see that in Rashi, that no matter what, if there's 2 hazaot worth in there, then by definition, in 2 hazaot, you're going to get 1 hazaah worth of kosher hazaah, because there was only 1 hazaah's worth of pasul water, and therefore you overcome it by doing 2 hazaot, you get to the point where you've overcome them. So I think that was what you were trying to suggest in the questioning of Rabbi Eliezer, why can't he say this? And that's exactly what Reish Lakish says. That you overcome it by saying that there isn't sufficient problematic water there, that it will ruin 2 hazaot. There's a minimum of 1 hazaah worth of good stuff there, and no more than 1 hazaah's worth of bad water there. And as Rashi knows over there, it doesn't have to be just 1 hazaah to 1 hazaah. It can even be 1 hazaah psul to 15 hazaot of kasher. As long as there's no more than 1 hazaah of psul over there, then whatever you put on afterwards is going to be mitzaref to get you to the minimum shiur that you need, because you only have 1 hazaah's worth of problematic waters that are inside of there. So that's the shita of Reish Lakish in explaining Rabbi Eliezer's position over here. The Bayit Tosfot over here asks, with regards to this position, if there's a minimum requirement of shiur hazaah, there are 2 requirements. 1 minimum is the amount that you start out with in the actual utensil that you need to sprinkle, and the other one is what ends up on the individual. And it has to be when you are putting the hazaah on the individual that you actually have in that hazaah sufficient amount to do the proper hazaah. But if you're splitting up the hazaah into 2 hazaot, and there's only 1 and 1 in there, that means that after you did the first hazaah, even though you got a portion of the kosher on, and then the second time you got the remainder of the kosher on, and they're mitzarif together, in the second hazaah that you did, there wasn't a full hazaah of kasherut left in it. The Bayit Tosfot bring from the Benu Chaim that that's okay. As long as when you started out the process of hazaah, there was sufficient mayim, chmei chatat in there that was good enough for hazaah, even if in the second hazaah there's no longer that full amount in there, as long as you started with that minimum amount, it's good. He says that's parallel with the din of netilat yadayim. Just like by netilat yadayim, you have to start out at the kli that has a revi'it mayim in it, or has a minimum shiur in it, then after you poured the first pouring, whatever remains in there still is kosher because it derived from something that started with the proper minimum shi'ur. If that's the case, everything you pour afterwards is a derivative of that. And similarly over here, even though in the second haza'ah, there isn't a full haza'ah of kosherut in that haza'ah, because you already did some of it from the first haza'ah, that's still okay because you started out with a utensil that had a haza'ah's worth of mechatat in it, and that makes all haza'ot that proceed from here to be kosherim. That's one way to deal with it. The other way to deal with it is to say, like Rashi said, that it's lav dafka. And it could be that there's one haza'ah worth of pasul, and many haza'ot worth of kosherim, and then you never have a problem because there's definitely one haza'ah worth of kosher left in it when you do each of the haza'ot. Rava amar, lolam yesh bila. Rava says, yes, there is bila. It gets mixed together. Vaza, eina tzricha shiur. And haza'ah does not require shiur. Now, way the Gemara learned before, if haza'ah does not require shiur, there's no reason to sprinkle the second time. If you have yesh bila, it's completely mixed together, and then you put it on the person, then there's at minimum some amount of kasher that ended up on there. Whatever the relative ratio of kasher that's in there, will get on the person. If there's no shi'ur, a minimum shi'ur of haza'ah, then there's, of course, no problem here. He should be fine. And that, Rabba says, Uknosa de knasu rabbonon. This is not a problem fundamentally. Midoraita, Rabbi Elazar thinks this is totally a kosher haza'ah, and there's no problem at all. Why do you have to do two haza'ot? It's a knas midrabbanan. Kehechi dolo mishtarishle. So that you do not profit from this. The problem is, or the issue is, that mechatat is extremely expensive. It is something that is a premium product. If you add water to it, and then we allow you to sprinkle it, that means that the water that's in there has benefited you now, because you've now, in a sense, diluted the mechatat, and you're still able to use the same amount of mechatat, including the water that's been added to it. So our fear is that people will add water either intentionally, or they will, quote-unquote, accidentally have water drop in there, because that increased the volume of mechatat that they have, and it won't be pasul. So what the Chachamim say is, you're going to have to sprinkle twice. And in sprinkling twice, we now penalize you to the point where it's not worth you putting the water in. Again, you have to assume here that there's only one sprinkling's worth of problematic water over here, and therefore if we make you sprinkle twice, we've defeated the purpose of dropping extra water in there in order to increase the volume of mechatat, because we're going to make you sprinkle twice every time, you're going to gain nothing from it. So if it happens by accident, that's a knas, that's a penalty for you for letting this happen. Again, even if that really is unintentional, we still force you to do this, so nobody thinks about doing this in order to profit from adding the water to it. Ravashi amar, ain bila. Ravashi over here says that Rabbi Lezer believes there is no bila, there is no complete mixture of liquids together, and yazeh shtei hazot, he has to do two hazot. So Ravashi's position is not exactly clear. If you look in Rashi, Rashi says, agirsa azu meshubeshet basfarim. Says whatever the girsa is in Ravashi is not really clear. Benira beinai, and he says this is what it should say over here. Hachi garsina, Ravashi amar mayim koshu tnan. Says mayim koshu vein bila, and there is no bila. Yazeh heshtei hazot, and therefore you be mazeh shtei hazot. So Ravashi believes that ein tzricha shiur, there is no shiur to hazot like Rava, but he doesn't believe that there's a kenas over here. Now, if he believed that there was bila, there was a mixture here, then there'd be no problem, like Rava said. If there's bila, then midoraita, you've been yotze already, once you've done one haza'ah. According to Rava, the second haza'ah is a knas. But Ravashi says there is no bila. There is no absolute mixture that takes place over here. That means that every time you do a sprinkling, there's a shot that whatever you're taking out is actually the problematic amount. And that's because a koldu went in. Whatever you're taking out now could be that koldu. Could be that because it didn't get mixed in. So that means when you're doing haza'ah, you're not getting a percentage of this and a percentage of that. You could be getting each one of them separately. And you could be getting that koldu that fell in there. That could be exactly what you're sprinkling now. And that's why it's pasul. So we tell you to do a second haza'ah. So then by definition, the second haza'ah is going to get you what you need. So similar to Reish Lakish, who says you need two haza'ot to ensure that you get to the right amount. But for Reish Lakish, that's because there's a minimum shiur for haza'ot. So we need two haza'ot to get there. For Ravashi, there is no minimum shiur. So you really shouldn't need two haza'ot. But there's ein bila. The mixture is not considered to be fully mixed. And therefore, there's a possibility that the pasul stayed separate. And then the haza'ah that you did was all from the pasul item. Or at least robe of the pasul item. And it might overwhelm that which is there, and therefore you don't have a kosher haza'ah. By the time you do a second haza'ah, for sure you have a kosher haza'ah for now, because the kosher ain't got wiped out by the first haza'ah, or it got wiped out by the second haza'ah. Either way, it doesn't matter, because at least one of those two hazaot came from the kosher mechatat, or at least the majority of mechatat, and since there's no shiur over here, you definitely got the proper haza over here. So as Rashi points out here, the key element of the sheet of Ravashi is that the kol shiur, or the kol shehein in the Mishnah, is literally kol shehein. And that's what's driving his sheet over here, that there is only a kol shiur in there, and that's why when there's ain't bilah, putting on the two hazaot can solve your problem. And that is because, at minimum, there isn't two hazaot worth of mayim psulim over here. Do two hazaot, by definition, one of those hazaot has something kasher in it, and that way you're discharging the obligation or being mitahar, the individual that it's being sprinkled on. Although the Balei Tosafot, playing on that sheet of Rashi and that Yerushalmi of Rashi, point out, Bekasha, Dilma Koshu Doleka Shiur Haza'a. The reason that the Mishnah says Koshu is because Leker Shiur Haza'a, there's not enough of a Shiur Haza'a in one Haza'a. Vaza'a Tzricha Shiur, and Haza'a requires a Shiur. Umitztarefet, and we allow the two Haza'ot to be Mitztaref. And that's why it mentions Koshein, because Koshein can ruin one Haza'a. It can't ruin two Haza'ot. There is a minimum Shiur of Haza'a. Between the two Haza'ot, you're going to overcome the problem of Koshu. Sabar Yesh Bilah. And in that case, he could believe that there is Bilah. And nevertheless, that's what the Koshu is doing over there. So just because it says Koshu doesn't prove to you that Ein Bila. The Bai Tosaf would say that Rashi's explanation is not Mukhrach. Just because your Midayek says Koshu, you could come up with a scenario, even if you say Koshu, that would give you a different conclusion than the conclusion of the Gemara of Ravashi Shita, or what Rashi is suggesting over here. Although, you could defend Rashi and say that Rashi's position is true only with the Koshu. Whereas the Bai Tosaf's position of Koshu is true by a Koshu, but it would even be true up to a hazah's worth of mayim psulim. If that's the case, then it's not just a koshu, and it's not only because it is a koshu, because even more than a koshu could have the same outcome based on that explanation. And therefore, Rashi believes that the koshu is the driving force over here. We have here three opinions in the Amuraim as to what the position of Rabbi Eliezer is. Rabba's position is the simplest of them, even though it seems to be the most complex. Rabba's is the simplest because he says, Doraita, Rabbi Eliezer really subscribes to the fact that this is totally kosher. The only reason he makes you do two hazot is an issue of a knas, mid Rabbanan. That means that fundamentally he believes that everything is fine over here, yesh bila, ain't shiur, everything is good. The other two opinions are what are going to be challenged by the Gemara, Rish Lakish's opinion, which is that there is bilah, but tzricha shiur, you do have a minimum shiur. Because you have a minimum shiur, therefore we require two hazaot in order to overcome the problem of the minimum shiur. And you have Ravashi's opinion, which is that Rabbi Eliezer believes ain bilah, which is a pretty extreme position. I'm going to see that the Gemara is going to bring numerous braitot that seem to undermine that or go against that position. The Gemara brings, first of all, a question on Rish Lakish. Meitavei. Rabbi Omer, again, we saw this back on Ayin Hey, the Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. According to Rabbi Eliezer, Hazah Koshu Mitaheret, any amount of the Hazah that goes on to the individual is Mitaher, and Hazah Ein Tzricha Shiur, and Hazah itself requires no Shiur. Those are one and the same, which is the fact that Hazah Koshu works tells you that there is no Shiur for Hazah. Number two is Hazah Mechsa Kasher Mechsa Pasul. If you have a Hazah that has Pasul and Kasher mixed into it, the Pasul does not overwhelm the Kasher part of it and say that you didn't get your Koshu in there. So that's like if you look at the last Rashi, he says, Belo Tema Hazah Koshu Hi De Kshera, Belo Yehima Tarovit Pasul. Not that you have to get a Koshu on that's absolutely Kshera with no Pasul in it. You can even have a Tarovit if something that's problematic. Elafilu Yeshba Tarovit Makshir. Even if it has Pasul in it, it's still Makshir. Alma, time of the blizzard, the baitarte, la mishum tzirufu. You see here that the reason that he needs two hazot is not because you have to add the two hazot together. Daktani ain't tzricha. It says here you don't need a shiur. This is obviously directly against Rish Lakish's opinion, who said that Rabbi Eliezer believes tzricha shiur. Rabbi Atana says that the meaning of Rabbi Eliezer's position, or what we derive from Eliezer's position, is that ain't tzricha shiur. And Rabbi Rish Lakish is saying Rabbi Eliezer believes tzricha shiur. So this is a question on Rish Lakish's opinion, and the Gemara does not address that at all, does not answer that. Ve'od. And here is an additional question coming from a Tanya, from a Breita. This question is directed at Ravashi. Now the truth is that the Lashon of Ve'od Tanya is a little difficult, because the first question we just brought was on Rish Lakish, and this question is on Ravashi Shita. So, mi pashtuta Gemara, it would seem like that Rish Lakish also believes Ein Bila. Not like Rashi's Girsa in the Gemara, not like Rashi explained before, and therefore it would be a question not only on Ravashi, but also on Rish Lakish. And that would be Va'od Tanya, because the first was a question on Rish Lakish, The second is a question on Rish Lakish and Rav Ashi. But that would then require you to say that Rashi's explanation before is incorrect. The other way to read it, Votanya, is to say that we're dismissing these two Amoraim, which is that the first question is on Rish Lakish, the second question is on Rav Ashi, and the combination of them make it that we reject both of them. That's what Votanya. And both of them prove that Rova's explanation is correct. And that's why you say Ba'od. Ba'od is not about on whom the question is, but rather the result of these questions is that we believe that Rova's explanation has got to be the right explanation for Rabbi Eliezer, which is Behedya. We learned explicitly, HaNitanim Lamala, Shinitarvu, V'Nitanim Lamato. When the blood that is above the Chuda Sikra gets mixed up with the blood that is below the Chuda Sikra, Rebelez Omer, Itain Lamalo. Then you first put it up top, Vatachtonim alu lo. And that which put below also is ole lo. So the assumption here, or the simple reading of this is, that he puts the dam up above, because then you're discharging the obligation with regards to the chatat by putting the dam above the chuta sikra, and we ignore the damim atachtonim, like in our Mishnah. He says it's keilu mayim, and we ignore it. Then you put the damim lamato, and in putting the damim lamato, you're now discharging the obligation with regards to the damim lamato, plus you're also discharging the obligation with regards to the shirayim of the damim lamalo. So in that way, you've accomplished everything, and both of them should be kshirim there. Alulo, meaning that you get both the korban chatat taken care of, as well as the olah, the shlamim, or the asham that's mixed in there, you get all of them taken care of this way. The only way this works is if you believe yesh bila. If you believe that the blood mixed on a basis by which every sprinkling that you're taking out of there contains within it a percentage of the mala and a percentage of the mato. If you do that and they're mixed together now, that bila creates something that is a representative sample of the mixture, then no matter what you put on top, you're going to get some of the damim, that the mala that needed to get there on top. And the mato, you're going to get some of the damim that belong to mato. But, if you believe that the blood never really mixes, amai alulo, then why does it work over here? Dilma kayayiv el yonim lamato. Maybe the blood that you put on the lower half of the mizbeach was really the dam that belonged on the upper half of the mizbeach. Vatachtonim. And the blood that belonged down below, the mala, you ended up putting on top. If you believe ain't bila, there's a possibility that all the dam you put on top was damim that belonged to the olah, the shlamim, or the asham. And then all the blood you put below the chuta sikra belonged to the chatat. And that way you're not yotzei either of the korbanot. The only way this works is if you believe yesh bila. My answer is, hachav mayaskinan, what's the case here? Gon de ika ruba el yunim. The majority of the dam here is dam chatat. V'koyoyiv the mala, shi'ur tachtonim ba'od. And on the upper half of the mizbeach, he puts on a minimum amount, which is the minority. So let us say here, you have 60% chatat, 40% asham in there. So what the individual does is he puts 41% or 45%, pick any number above 40%, of damim on the upper half of the mizbeach. That way he's guaranteed that in that mixture there is damim in the mala. There's only a quantity, volumetrically, of 40% of the mata. So if you put on more than 40%, by definition, anything in excess of the 40%, for sure is damim lamala. Could be there's more here. But at minimum, you have that, and that's how you yotze over here. You put on at least 40%+ on the upper half of the mizbeach, and therefore you're yotze. Gemara says, ha, tachtoni malulo k'toni. What do you do about the second half of Braita? This is why Bali Tosfot say the Gemara didn't ask from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah only has one aspect of it. It doesn't have the tachtonim aspect of it. If the Braita here explicitly says that you're also yotze the tachtonim. Well, if you yotze the tachtonim, if you put 41% on top and you believe ain't bila, there's no way that you're yotze on the second matan dam below. Up above, I agree with you. You got a minimum of 41% up top. That means at least 1% of it was the mala, maybe more. But then you're definitely discharging your obligation, the mala. But now when you come to put the dam lamato, there's a good chance that you got none of the mata there because it all went on top. How do you know you got anything done lamato that you're yotze? So Gemara says, l'shem shirayim. When it says you're yotze milamato, it doesn't mean that you're yotze the korban that belonged milamato. It's not the asham, the shlamim, or the olah. It means that the shirei adam from the mala, when you put it on below, then you're yotze the din of putting the shirei adam on the mizbeach. So, and Achanami, you're right. You're not yotze with regards to the korban that belonged below the chuta sikra. You're only taking care of the chatat and both aspects of the chatat. The aspect that it belongs above the chuta sikra you've accomplished, by definition, even though ain't bila. And below the chuta sikra, you're putting the shirei adam there. The leftover dam of milamala you're putting there. It's not a problem. Either because you are doing it because it's the tachtonim. It's one of the korbanot that belong below. If that happened, by chance, you're not doing anything wrong. You just don't know you're doing that. So you're yotze that korban. And if it's from the Damim and Lamalo, it's already Shiraim, and you can put it below, and that's okay. And you cannot say the opposite, which is that the Rov Damim came from the Tachtonim, and then you place that amount on top, Rov plus more, so that you ensure that you get the Malo, because then the second half of the Bright would not be true. That what you put below is then Sheirei Adam, because it's possible then that none of the Elyonim is left over. Because you took the row of what would have been the Tachtonim plus a little more to guarantee that you get Elyonim. That also means there's a possibility that all the Elyonim went up top. And then when you put the Dami in the Mato, you're going to have a problem now because there's none of the Elyonim left over and it cannot be counted towards Sheirei Adam. The Baal Yetos Sefot, on the other hand, give another reason why you can't say that it's row of the Tachtonim. Because he says, the Iribu Tachtonim, if the majority was of the Dami and Tachtonim, Lo haya omer Rabbi Eliezer yitein lamalo. He would not allow you to put the damim above. That is because Rabbi Eliezer only permits you to put damim milamalo and assume the residual dam is kimayim in situations where at least there's a possibility that you would have gotten all the dam elyonim up top. And that would be a possibility that it's only damim elyonim. But in a case where for sure you're going to end up with damim tachtonim above, either because you got all the tachtonim plus a little more, which was elyonim, or in a case where it's a mixture of the two, he doesn't over there in that case say, oh, ro'im, as if we see it. It's got to be there's a possibility that you got everything right. And we say, if there is something wrong, ro'im oto kilu zemayim. So the Baal Yetos Sefot say that if that was the case, he wouldn't let you put the damim in the malo. And that's why the Gemara went with the case that it's ruba elyonim, that the majority of the dam here is damim that belongs on the elyon. Tashma, let's look at another braita. Natan lamata velo nimlach. He put it down below, and he didn't ask us anything. He just put the dam. He had this mixture of damim that belongs above and below, and he put it on below. And obviously, he didn't ask us over here, because if he asked Rabbi Eliezer, he would tell you to put the damim in lamala first, because we always give precedence to the chatat over those that are below. According to the Chachamim, we would tell you, Shafech le'ama. You would dump it into the sewer line, we wouldn't put it on the Mizbeach at all. So that's why it's a case of Lo Nimlach, because he accomplished neither of those positions, the Chatkila, and so obviously he acted without asking us what to do. Rabbi Eliezer Amir, Yachzor v'yitein l'malo. You go again and place it up top, v'atachtanim alulo. And then the bottom ones, he discharged. So again here, you have a situation in which he put some of the damim in the mato, but now he's putting the damim milamalo. So Rabbi Eliezer is telling you, even if the Kohen didn't ask a question, he put down below first, we still tell him afterwards to go and put the stuff up top to be motzi or to be yotze with regards to the korban that is up above. So in that case, again, you think that there is bilah. It has to be fully mixed together. Otherwise, why do you put the dam on top? How is that going to help out your situation over here? So the Gemara again says, Hachanami biruba elyonim. Ekayev lamala shir tachtonim. It's a case here where the majority was milamala, only 40% again was lamata, 60% was milamala, and he put on top 41%, so he's guaranteed that he got something milamala that was necessary to put the mala. Doesn't it say you discharge the obligation with regards to the damim below? L'shem shirayim, that's l'shem shirayim. Now over here, it's clear that you can't read the praita that way, or the gemara that way. There's obviously a girsa problem over here, and the Baal Yetos Sefot already pointed that out. Baal Yetos Sefot, Nira de Garcinan v'yachzor v'yitein lamato. It has to be that in the Braita it says that after you put it down below, you take the damim, put it up top, and after you put it up top, you put it again down below. And that's where the Gemara's question is. Gemara's question is, why are you putting it down below afterwards if you put already 41% up top and there may be nothing left of the tachtonim below? The answer is, that is shirayim. Because the way that we have the Braita set up, he put on below first. And there's no way when you put something on first that could be the Shirayim for that which is the Malo. So that can't be the Girsa of the Braita, because otherwise the explanation of the Gemara makes no sense. So that's why the Baal Yetos would say that it says, V'yachzor v'yitein l'mato. He thinks after he put it below, he goes then and puts it up above, and then again puts the Damim below. And that's where the Gemara is questioning, how could he put it below? Why does that help him? The answer is, that's for the Shirayim. Tashma, a third Braita now. Natanan melamalo. He put them on top. Velo nimlach. And he didn't ask us any questions. Elu ve'elu modim shiachzor v'yitein lamato. Both of them agree, meaning both the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer agree. And you go ahead and then put damim milamata afterward. If you've already put the damim milamalo, at this point you may as well put them lamata. Ve'elu ve'elu alulo. And in that case, both of them are discharged. And let's just speak within the Chachamim's position, then we'll discuss Rabbi Eliezer. If you believe Yesh Bila, according to the Chachamim, when something gets together, it's totally mixed together. And hazal tzricha shi'ur. Hazal has a minimum shi'ur over here. Ve'em mitzterfim lazot, and you can't be mitzteref lazot. Over here, when you have pilah, and you put a matnot dam on top, for sure you got some of the matanot that were supposed to be lamala on top. And therefore, you're yotzei with regards to milamala. Now you want to put the damim in lamata. The chamim say you don't put on damim when we're not sure that's what's supposed to be here. But once you've already put the damim in lamala, and you've discharged your obligation with regards to the chatat above, then what you put below is mimon avshach. Either you're putting on the damim of those that belong down below, that's allowed because that's where they belong. If it's from the damim el yonim, then it's sherei adam. It's the leftover dam. And that's also allowed to be put down below keneged yisod. And so therefore, no matter what you put below, you're doing the right thing. Whether it's the damim atachtonim or the damim el yonim, that's why the chachamim allow you to do this. Now, if you believe, according to Rabbi Eliezer, yesh bilah, you would say the same thing with regards to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. But now you're telling me that Rabbi Eliezer believes ain't bilah. There is no mixing together over here. If it's not mixed together, then you're going to have to answer the same thing again, which is hachanami biruba elyonim, kayev lamala shir tachtonim va'od. Has to be a case where the majority was elyonim, the minority was tachtonim, and he put on top enough to be more or in excess of the tachtonim. Vaha elu ve'elu alulok tani. You have a little bit of a problem over here because the braita says over here that both of them are discharged. If you remember, the way we've explained Rabbi Eliezer in the previous two braitot, that which went above discharged your obligation with regards to the chatat, your yotzei the chatat. The damim that went below were sheyirei adam, were the leftover adam. He never thought that you were yotzei the korban that belonged below. But this braitot is saying, not only did you discharge your obligation vis-a-vis the korban that was above the chutei sikra, you're also discharging your obligation with regards to the korban that was below the chutei sikra. How could you say that according to this explanation in Rabbi Eliezer? Where it says, Miktanu Elu Ve'elu Modim, that's not what it says in the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't say both of them agree to this point. Elu Ve'elu Alulo Ktani. It says both of them are Lulo, Seifa Atan Rabona. That last statement in the Breita is only according to the Chachamim, the Amre Yesh Bilah, because they believe the Yesh Bilah. So what they're pointing out is, Elu Ve'elu Modim is the beginning of this statement in the Breita. That Elu Ve'elu Modim is that they both agree that you put the matnot dam on the lower half of the mizbeach. But that doesn't tell you what they think happens when you put the dam on the lower half of the mizbeach. According to Rabbi Eliezer, when you put the lower half of the mizbeach, all you've accomplished is the sherei adam, that from the elyonim are being put below. The chachamim, when you put on the tachtonim, you're also yotzei with regards to the korban, or you're kasher with regards to the korban that belong below. And therefore, that last statement in the braita of elu velu alulo, it's not the Divrei HaKol. That's only in the Shita of the Chachamim. That's not in the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. So far, we've successfully fended off questions against Rav Ashi's position that Rabbi Eliezer believes Ein Bila. And each of these, Praito, really sounds like, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Yesh Bila. In each of these cases, we've given the same answer, which is, it's a case where the Rov is from the Elyonim. The minority is from the Tachtonim. And you put sufficient of the minority up top, meaning that you put more in excess of the minority up top, so for sure you got at least some of the damim from the elyonim on top. And as far as the lower half, you're not yotzei for that korban, you're only yotzei with regards to the sheirei hadam. So that's how we've answered this all along. Tashma. Hanitanim b'matana achat, shinitarvu minitanim b'matana achat. You have those that require matana achat that are mixed up with matana achat. Inatnu b'matana achat. You put one matan dam on there. And even though in the Mishnah this is not attributed to Rabbi Eliezer, but to the Chachamim, the fact that Rabbi Eliezer argues in the latter cases in the Mishnah shows that he agrees in this case that that is the din. And if he agrees in this case, it seems to be that there is definitely bilah over here. Iamart ain't bilah. If you believe that they don't get mixed together, amayi natnu matana achat. Why would you put a single matana dam there? Dilma mahay koyohiv, umahay koloyohiv. How do you know that you got both korbanot on there? If you believe, yesh bilah, that there is mixture of the tarovet here, and therefore any dam you take out of there is representative of both parties here, so if you have a mix of a maser and bechor there, then we assume that when you take out, you got a piece of the bechor, you got a piece of the maser, and when you put the matan dam, you accomplish both of them. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, lefi Rav Ashi, where there's ain't bilah, who says that when you got one matan dam over here, you got the bechor and the maser. Maybe you got just the bechor, maybe you got just the maser. If that's the case, then why is a single matan dam suffice over here? You really should have to do two matnot dam at least. Or why should you be allowed to put any matan dam over here? Because we don't know which one you're discharging or how you're accomplishing it here. The Gemara says, Kagon shnitarvu achat v'achat. Again, it's where they are there on a racial basis, and each one of them has a single hazaah worth of damim that ended up in there. So there's two matnot dam that are required, and one matan dam of maaser ended up in there, and one matan dam of bechor ended up in there. Still, you have a problem now. Because who says you got a matan dam on of bechor, you got a matan dam on of maaser. So that's where Rashi explains over here. When it says over here that you put a matana achat on, he says, shir matana mizeh, v'shir matana mizeh. You put on two matnot dam, eh, no chanami. When it says in the Braita that you put a matana achat, it doesn't mean a single matana. It means a matana achat from this one and a matana achat from that one. Meaning that you put on two matnot dam over here. Tani nu matana achat b'shvil kol echad kamar. You have to put a single matan dam for each of these items. Tainu shtei matanot. Tenimsu shtehem b'mizbeach. Now you end up with both of them going on the mizbeach. Tosfot asks you a question. Perish b'kodesh. He brings down the Rashi saying, Zviteima. My kashalei. Neima shtein kol adam b'matana achat. Why'd you just put all the dam in one matana? Dikim etervayu mimonavshach. Because if you put all the damim on there, mimonavshach, you're going to end up with both korbanot on there. What are you telling me that there's two matanot put on there according to Rashi in order to solve this problem? Just do what you just suggested. Put all the damim in one matana on there. And then by definition, you got both of them on the mizbeach. And therefore, he suggests over here, v'nira lefaresh dochi parich. Dilma mehai koyoiv, da balitein lo yitein ala shtei matanot. Achat mishum zeh, v'chat mishum zeh. V'im ne'mar lo shiten kol adam lo yishma lanu. Tosfot says, he thinks that what the Gemara is asking is that nobody's going to listen to us. If you tell the guy to put all the damim on the mizbeach, the Kohen's going to say, why should I put all the damim on the mizbeach? If you have pasul and kasher mixed together, then you can explain to him why you need to do that, or why you would have to overcome the problem of the psul. But over here we have two korbanot that are ksherim, that are mixed together. He's not going to listen to us to put on all the damim on the mizbeach. It says that's the Gemara's question over here. It's a practical problem that we're not going to be able to convince the Kohanim to do this. And therefore, how could you have the solution be put on a matana achat, which is all the damim, when Kohanim are just not going to listen to that? They're just going to put on a matan dam, achat, like they normally do. It's kegon shnitarvu achat b'achat. Case here where there's only a simple amount in there, there's only two matanot in there, and therefore he's going to put on both matanot, because he knows there's a matan dam for each korban. But if there's more than that, or an excess of that, he wouldn't comply with us instructing him to put all the damim on the mizbeach. Okay, matan arba, b'matan arba. Hachinami, what are you going to do in that case? Shintarbu, arba ba'arba. It's a case where you have four and four mixed together. If you have arba matanot for above, and four matanot for above, then you're going to put them on for matanot. Again, the Gemara answers, it's where there's an equal volume of each item on there. According to Rashi, means that you do two sets of arba matanot. According to Bali Tosafot, you can convince the Kohen to do that. You can't convince the Kohen if it was just tons and tons from two korbanot. And even though here there's a possibility that if you believe ain't bila, that one of the matanot dam ended up on this Karen, and then the same korban ended up on this Karen again when you put it on the second time, because there's no bila over here, it's a possibility that they didn't get distributed on the four karnot for each of the two korbanot. Nevertheless, at least, given the quantity and the volume, we can try to do that. And at worst, we know that if it's zintan mitana achat, at least one matana got on a karen, that's sufficient over there. And therefore, we will allow you to go undo two sets of four matanot, according to Rashi. Now, Gemara says, what about matan arba matana achat? Now you run into a problem. It works well when you're talking about the same matanot. But when you're talking about a matan arba but matana achat, if you're telling me here that, again here, it's only where there's a matana achat that's mixed in with the matan arba, then how are you going to explain Rabbi Yeshua's response to Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah? Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua, rehu overa baltusif. Hacha baltusif me'echa. How are you ever going to have baltusif over here? It's a case where there's one matana worth of bechor in there. There's only sufficient for one matan dama bechor. If that's the case, how are you ever going to be in violation of baltusif when you put in an extra matana? The next matana that you put on is not an extra matana b'chor, because there's only one matan dam of b'chor. So you can never be in violation of baltusif. So how could it be that he's asking him that it is baltusif? Tosavod on the previous Amud says, wait a minute, why is it so simple here that the, first of all, dam of b'chor ends up on the mizbeach in a proper way, ender yotzei? Because again here, when we're doing matana achat and arba matanot, as the Mishnah says, that's matana achat is b'chor, maser, or pesach. And arba means shtein matanot shein arba, which are both below chuta sikra. So then you're doing shtein matanot shein arba. When you do shtein matanot shein arba, it splits across the corner, And then you don't necessarily have enough of the Bechor on one wall. The Bechor, the Maser, requires Matana Achat on one of the walls. When it splits across the Kranot, there's a possibility that you didn't get enough on one wall to be sufficient. So the Baal HaTos would say that you have to say there's enough here that either one of those splits would have created a situation which is sufficient dam from the Bechor to make a difference on either one of those walls, and therefore it's kasher the Gabe the Bechor. Number two is, if that's the case, you might have a problem about Tosif, because then you end up with the Matan Dam of the Bechor on two walls of the Mizbeach, when only needs to be on one wall of the Mizbeach. So the Baal HaTos would say that that wouldn't stop you over here, because that's only a suffix Baal Tosif. It's not guaranteed that you're ending up with a Baal Tosif. The way that our Mishnah has it, it's a guarantee that you're going to end up with a Baal Tosif, because there's enough Dam in there that the Bechor will definitely end up being placed on more than one location. Here we have a limited amount of Dam of the Bechor, then there's only a Safek. In that one sprinkling, did you get some of the Bechor on both walls, or did it go onto only one wall? If it went onto one wall, because there's Ein Bila, then there's no Baal Tosif. If it went onto both walls, then there is a Baal Tosif, but it's only a Safek. For that Safek Baal Tosif, we wouldn't stop you from putting on there and being Makshir the Korban, and therefore there's no problem of Baal Tosif over here. The Gemara now is going to stop, and we'll continue with this tomorrow. They don't argue about blila, kibligei bekosot. Where they argue about is in kosot. So Rava says, Eino Hanami, Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rav Ashi that ain't blila. And all the questions you're bringing from those braitot and our Mishnah are not really questions, because those are not cases of blila. Those are all cases of kosot, where we're dealing with cups that got mixed up together, not cases where it's lach balach. So Eino Hanami, had you brought that it was lach balach, you would argue between the Chachamim and Rav Lezer whether there is bila or ain't bila. But over here, all these cases are cases where it's speaking about kosot. Never they're not a challenge to Rav Ashi's position about bila, and you don't have to give all these dochak answers, because we're not speaking about issues of bila, we're speaking about issues of kosot. And even though, on the surface, there is really a problem with Rav's statement over here, because first of all, Rav himself believes yesh bila, and now he's defending Rav Ashi who believes ain't bila. Number two is, Rava is a couple of generations before Rav Ashi. So how is it that Rava's coming and defending Rav Ashi? You can already see in the Shita Mekubetz that he changes the gears here to Rava instead of Rava. So that might help a little bit, and it does help you in terms of not having Rava being Sotera's own position of Yesh Bila. On the other hand, it doesn't really solve your problem with regards to the issue of them defending Rav Ashi, who is much later than them. So you either have to suggest that Rava was explaining this because of some other reason, as we're going to see here, that machlok that he has about this issue, or the explanation of Rabbi Eliezer, and the Gemara then uses that to also help or answer the problem of Rav Ashi. Or, if you have the gear select the Shittim Mekubetzit over here of Rabba, maybe it's not Rabba, the Rebbe of Rava, but rather Rabba, one of the later Amoraim, who was a peer, or after the time of Rav Ashi. Now the truth is, in the end, that they do argue about Bila. And according to Rav Ashi, Rav Eliezer doesn't hold a Bila. But that's not the question that's being addressed by all those Braitot. The Braitot are not speaking about cases of Balot. Not speaking about cases where they're mixed together. They're speaking about cases of Kosot. When you have Kosot, you can never speak about Balot. And therefore, all the questions that arise in those Braitot are questions where there is no Bila. So that's why they're not a question on Rav Ashi. All right, we're going to stop here, four lines down on the top of Pei Aleph, Amud Aleph.